That's good. Visitors, if you're here for the first time and you'd like a copy of the questions that we're using, just hold up your hands. David, we have questions here. Do you have spares or not? Yes, he does. All right. So if you want a copy of the questions, the Bible drills that we're doing, and what we're trying to do is just to learn the Bible and do all that we can in learning the Bible. We're into the book of Numbers, ready to go into the book of Deuteronomy. Let me ask you this, just by way of review. What's in the book of Genesis? Genesis tells of what? Tells about what? What's the word mean? What about Exodus? Exiting. That's not hard. What about Leviticus? The Levites and priestly duties. What about Numbers? Numbering of the people. Is that too hard? What does Deuteronomy mean? Second law, and it's the second time you find the Ten Commandments, and that's where those books get those names. We're not going to go back and review, Genesis and Exodus. There are far many questions, more questions on that than on the book of Numbers. If I ask you, God's punishment for adultery in the Old Testament was what?
Death.
What about God's punishment for cursing your parents?
Death.
Now then, there are six on the cards. There are six things for which there was the punishment of death. One starts with C. What would that be? Cursing your parents, all right. What about A? Adultery. What about H? Homosexuality. What about W?
Witchcraft.
What about B? You read so well, Joan. I'm telling you that. And I didn't say don't look. I write. And then the last one is H, and I can't remember what it is. Right? Is it H? M. All right. M is what? For murder, all right. So we've got all of those things. That's the nature of that law that was there. The study of these books is a whole lot simpler than Leviticus, Numbers, because there aren't that many stories, and we probably know the story. I want to talk a few minutes about the story of the man who talked to a donkey. You know that story? What is the name of the man that talked to the donkey? Balaam. What is the name of the king? Do you know the name of that king? Balak. Now, let's go back for the benefit of those who do not know that story. Can you believe that a donkey ever talked? It's impossible. Donkeys cannot talk, right? Donkeys cannot talk. God could make them talk, right? God could make them, God could make them talk. What would you do if a donkey, what would you do if you got home and your dog started talking to you? You'd what? You would scream, all right? I want to tell you about a man who got so angry that his donkey, that when the donkey said something to him, he didn't flinch at all. Have you ever been that mad that you got so angry? He got so mad at his donkey that when the donkey said, "Why are you beating me?" We'll talk about it. Okay, let's set the story. You see, God's people were coming out of the land of Egypt and headed to that promised land. What's the description of that promised land? It's a land that does what? Flows with what? Flows with milk and honey. And so they've got that description. They're headed for the promised land. They've exited out of the land of Egypt. They've come down to that mountain. What's the name of the mountain where they got the law?
Mount Sinai.
And now they're headed to the promised land. They get up to the edge of the promised land and they send out the spies. How many spies did they send out? Harrison, do you know how many spies, the number of spies they sent out? Do you know how many?
Two.
How many faithful spies were there?
Two.
Two. What were their names?
Joshua and Caleb.
Joshua and Caleb, all right. Now you need to know that, young people. You need to know the names of those faithful spies. Mamas and daddies and grandma and grandpa, you'd better learn that, right? And Holly, I hope he'll teach you those right answers also, okay? And so he sends out the 12 spies, and two of them come back and said, "We can take the land." They don't believe God, and so they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, in which book in the Bible would I read about them sending out the spies? Do you know that chapter yet? That's one of the questions on the blue card. That chapter where you would read about they didn't believe God, and therefore they could not enter the promised land. You know that chapter? Have you found it, Joan? It's on the right-hand side up near you, about halfway down. It's Numbers chapter 13 and 14 where you read about them wondering about the disbelief in God and that type of thing. And that's important to know that. Because they were going into the promised land. The Bible says it's an 11-day journey from Mount Sinai all the way up to the promised land. And it only took them 40 years to go an 11-day journey. They got up there. The spies come back and says, we cannot take the land. They wander in the wilderness. And all of those who were 20 years and over, men of war that were numbered, died except two of them. Who are the two that did not die? If I tell you one of them is Joshua, Harrison, would you tell me who the other one was? Joshua and who? Caleb. All right, Joshua and Caleb. And so they're allowed to go into the promised land. But after 40 years, they're ready to go into the promised land. And the people in that land are scared to death of this massive number of Jews coming in to take their land. And so there's a king there, of the king of the Moabites. His name is Balak, B-A-L-A-K, Balak. And he knows of a man way in a distant way, far away, by the name of Balaam, who has this reputation that whoever Balaam pronounces a curse upon will be cursed, and whoever he blesses will be blessed. And so he goes to get Balaam to come and to curse God's people. And so he sends a lot of money. The Bible says, the New King James says, that the money was for diviner's fee. You know what a diviner is? It has to do with witchcraft, cast spells. And so sometimes we talk about Balaam being a prophet of God. But he's also in the Bible, he's talking, you know, he's over there in that other area also. Now, he is a prophet of God, there's no question about it, but he's a false prophet. So they get there with all of this money, and they said to Balaam, look, we'll give you all this money, just come over here and curse God's people. And he said, I cannot do it. I need to ask God. And God said, you shall not go with them, you shall not curse them, for they are blessed. So the messengers come back. By the way, Balaam lives in Mesopotamia. That's at least 600 miles from where Balak lives. How long would it take you to walk 600 miles? You know, if you could do 20 miles a day, you know, it'd take 30 days to get over there. So 30 days to get over there. 30 days to get the message back to Balak. He's not going to come. So he says, hey, I didn't send enough money. I'll send more money. I'll send more noble men. So he sends more money and sends them all the way over there. That's another 30. That's 3 months. And we read this story. You read it in two chapters, and you just read right through it, and you don't get the time picture. And Balaam said, well, let me check with God. I want to see what else God will say. Isn't that amazing? What more, if God had told you, you shall not go with them, you shall not curse them, for they're blessed. And somebody said, but I'll give you a whole lot more money if we'll do it. What more can God say? You know what God told him? Go ahead. Did your mom and daddy ever do that to you? You nagged them until they said, yeah, go ahead. That's what God did. So they are doing a godly thing whenever they say, go ahead and touch the hot stove. You know, it's your hand. You know, I mean, that's... And so he says, go. And the Bible says God's anger was kindled against Balaam because he went. It's the only time in the Bible that I know of where God got angry at somebody for doing what God told him to do. And so he gets on his donkey and he heads over there. What the donkey can see and Balaam is unable to see is the angel of the Lord with his sword drawn. And whenever he sees that angel there, he refuses to go. It's a female donkey, is it? Stubborn. Now, I should have figured that out, right? Or maybe I ought to leave right now. What do you think? How far is it to Mesopotamia for me, and how long would it take me to get there? Well, there is that, and the donkey refuses to go. I'm trying to remember if it's the second time when that happens, that he's where there's a wall. Balaam is. And the donkey sees that angel with the sword drawn, and she pushes Balaam's leg up against the edge, hurts Balaam's leg. And the third time, whenever it happens, the donkey refuses to go. I guess first time went into the field, second time pushed the third time the donkey just lays down or just stops. And Balaam starts beating that donkey. And the donkey turned around and said, "Why are you beating me? What have I ever done wrong to you?" Now, I used to say, I don't believe that could happen. Young people, I don't know if you ever saw Candid Camera. You remember Candid, an older television program, and you've got the equivalent. I don't even know what the equivalent, America's Funniest Videos, or no, where they play tricks on people. There's one for young people. What? What? Punked. Okay. Punked is a new version of Candid Camera. Okay. Years ago, on Candid Camera, one of the greatest events I've ever seen was a horse at a racetrack in the stall. And a man walks by the racehorse, and the horse said, "Psst, psst." The man turns around, and the horse says to the man, "Put all of your money on War King in the fifth race." And the man turns to the racehorse and he said, "What'd you say?" And he says, "Put all of your money on War King in the fifth race." And he says, "What?" And then he said, "How do you spell War King?" He asked the horse to spell War King. I wish I had known the rest of that story. I wonder if the man really did that. That's an amazing thing. But it happened in Candid, and it happened in biblical sense. I used to think if my dog started talking to me, I there's no way I'd be talking to my dog. You know? Then the Lord opens Balaam's eyes, and he sees the angel that's there. And he knows that that donkey has saved his life. It's amazing what he said. "I've done wrong." Now, he says, "If it displease you, I'll go back to Mesopotamia." "I've done wrong, and if it displease you..." I mean, here's this angel that was ready to kill him three times, and Balaam says, "I've done wrong. Now, if you're upset at me, I'll go back to Mesopotamia." I used to read that, and I couldn't feel... I believe what he's saying is, I shouldn't have been beating my donkey. It's the only thing that makes sense. "I have sinned, and if it displease you, I'll go back." Somebody that says, "I have sinned," should be ready to say, "I'm going to serve God now." But he went on to curse them. And God took over Balaam's mouth. And every time Balaam stood up to curse God's people, God put a blessing in Balaam's mouth. And he blessed Israel. Again and again and again. Fabulous story. But it's a story that says something about God and His concern about folks that are trying to live righteous. Those Jews that came out of the land of Egypt were God's chosen people. And so the God of heaven looked down on this earth, and there were people that were His. I want to tell you something. That when God looks down from heaven,
They're His people. There are a lot of people that died Saturday. A lot of people died Saturday. But one of those people that God was so aware of was my cousin. You see, the Bible says, and listen to this, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And that's why I want to be a Christian. And young people, I don't preach for a living. I live to preach. Because I want God's eyes to be over you. I mean, you think about what's happening in school. And sometimes you don't get treated right in school and they laugh at you and they make up nicknames like Biggin to call you. And you get mistreated. But there's a God in heaven whose eyes are over you. You were, if this happened in your life, you were embarrassed by it, okay? Let me talk to your moms and dads and grandparents. You remember your kids when they were doing the piano recital? You know, they're going to graduate from kindergarten. And all the kids are lined up down the side of the room over there. And, you know, and your daughter is over there. And you feel sorry for all the mothers and other mothers and daddies that are there because their kid's so ugly and you've got the only pretty one over there. Now, you parents know what I'm talking about. You're embarrassed that your parents are paying you that much attention, you know, making a big fuss over you. And so you're over there and you got a smudge on your dress or something. You get some dirt. You just want to get that dirt off your dress. And your mom's sitting over there saying, honey, don't worry about that. I got shout. Just I'll take this out in a moment. I'll get rid of that. And that little boy over there behind you in you know, he starts pulling your hair. And you're so upset. And your mom says, or your dad says, he does that one more time, I'm going over there and pop that kid in the face. I mean, isn't that the way you felt about it? They're mistreating my son. That's my daughter. And your eyes saw every kid that was in there. But your eyes were fixed on one of them. See, that's what I want every one of us to recognize. God's aware of everybody. Everything's happening on this earth. But His eyes are fixed on His chosen people. And we're not trying to study the book of Numbers just to learn a bunch of facts. We're trying to learn about God. And the God who says, cursing your parents is so severe that if you do it, put that child to death. The God of heaven who says that sexual impurity is such that if there is adultery, you kill the adulterer and the adulteress. And people look at that God and they think, wow. But that's the same God that says, my eyes will be over you. And my ears are open to your prayers. I know it's not this way. Because God's bigger than this. But in my kindergarten mind, and maybe someday I'll get an adult mind, I think about when I pray to God. And how busy heaven's got to be. It's not this way, just in my imagination. and there's a report of this war that's over here and this tornado that's over there and this hurricane that's happening here and this bank robbery that's going on here, you know, and all of the starving people that's in the world, and heaven is just filled with information coming into headquarters. And it's not this way, it's just in Dan's imagination. All of a sudden God says, hush. And heaven becomes silent. And God leans over and listens to my prayer. That's what my God is like. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. Tell you one more big story, and then I'll stop. I was shy. And we're 9 years of age. And Biggin says, Dan, why don't we go knock on doors and pass out tracts? And not because of who I am, but because of the influence of a person that really was important in my life. We knocked on 500 doors in West Huntsville. And I remember what we said. Hello? We're from the West Huntsville Church of Christ, and we want to give you a cordial invitation to come and to worship with us. And then we'd run away. And I didn't know what cordial meant. But Bickin said, that's what you ought to say. And I said it. And I say that to help you understand that the course of my life was set way, way back yonder. And that's why, young people, the Bible says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Because the course of your life is being set. And I'm not just trying to talk to young people. Remember now the Creator, because His eyes will be over you. And His ears are open to your prayers. Oh, yes, there's going to be justice and judgment against sin and people who choose to do evil. That's His nature. But what I need to do is just to serve Him, be His child. And that's why the Bible says, in reference to these very things, like Balaam, these things happen for examples. And they're written for our admonition. You think there's not an example of Joshua and Caleb? When two men stand up against 603,550 individuals, when two men stand up against 603,548 individuals, now we've got to take Moses out of this and Aaron out of this. But those men are war. And those two men stood and said, we're going to do right. Let's go take the promised land right this minute because God is with us. And that's what these Sunday night studies are all about. It is because faith comes from hearing the Word of God. And Chad, you need to be a Joshua. You need to be a Caleb. All of you. Because that's what that story is all about. And we need to understand the nature of God, and then we need to serve Him. Because the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Marty, think about what's happening in your life. The eyes of the Lord are over Marty. And His ears open to Marty's prayers. You think of what you do for your kids. And that's what God will do for you. And for all of us. And that's why we got to serve Him. We got to serve Him. And so, what's Numbers all about? What's Leviticus all about? What's Exodus all about? It's all about life. Because we have detailed instructions about the nature of God. And when Christ comes, we see it exemplified in His life. But there's no difference in the nature of the God of the Old Testament and the nature of Jesus in the New Testament. And it is a perverted view that says God in the Old Testament was mean and Jesus is loving. No. The compassionate Jesus is the compassionate God. And the stern God is the stern Jesus. And there's illustration after illustration in His life of that. Well, we didn't get too far into Deuteronomy and Numbers tonight. But there aren't that many questions. And so let me encourage you to study these and find the answers to them. And we're going to have a Sunday, take one of our Sunday morning services in which we'll do a Medal of Honor Sunday, so it's about time to really get serious about learning the answers to these questions. You already know, six of them. Punishment for cursing, for adultery, for murder, for blasphemy, and for those other two, whatever they are, okay? That's great.